You're listening to the podcast of Living Grace Church in Hinckley, Minnesota. We invite you to join us this Sunday at 10 o'clock as we look to the Scriptures, seeking to grow in the gospel of grace alone.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I'm glad to see you all this morning. So as I was thinking about this morning and on Friday night, and I was bouncing about maybe I should preach a sermon that I already wrote, or I should preach to the book of Acts, and I pray about it, and I say, okay, I'll prepare a sermon on the book of Acts. So, but I don't know how long it's going to take to complete that sermon, maybe 15 minutes. Or if it takes 1 hour or two, just bear with me. We see that as we are going through the book of Acts, which tells us a lot about the early church and how we as a body, how we should... how Book of Acts is supposed to be a pattern for us. We see last week in the Book of Acts from chapter 1, we have seen Jesus presenting himself alive to the disciples after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during his 40 days on earth and speaking about the kingdom of God. We also see that he's commanded them to not depart from Jerusalem, to wait for what? To wait for the promise of God, which is the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised them that they would receive power to be what? They would receive, right, they would receive power to be his witness. And to be clear that they had already experienced the Holy Spirit saving. They already experienced that the Holy Spirit guiding, teaching, and miracle working power. But this time, they are going to receive his dwelling presence and a new dimension of power for witness. Last week, we have seen from chapter 2, verse 1 to 13, that they received the promise from previous chapter that they were waiting for before they depart from Jerusalem. That was on the day of the Pentecost, the feast of the week which was celebrated 50 days after the Passover. And the moment the Holy Spirit comes down, there was a change in that environment, to which none of the people ever experienced before. The presence of the Holy Spirit moving in their midst, they experienced the presence of God at that moment. Peter and many others were filled with the Holy Spirit and start speaking in other languages. They start speaking with boldness. So, and this morning, I invite you to open your Bible with me in Acts chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 14 to 21. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And the last day it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even on male servants and female servants in those days. I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be above and sign on the earth below. Blood and fire, the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great day, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the Lord shall be saved. So let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful to be speak this morning, and we are so grateful for the way that you use us. And I pray that this morning, Lord, your spirit will speak to your people, and you will put your word in my lips. And I pray that, Lord, you will remove all of the distraction and help these times to be yours, and your people can be sanctified through it. And speak, O Lord, and have your way in each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, if you remember Peter, the fisherman, or to be clear, I can put it simple for you. Peter, the guy who betrayed Jesus on the night of the crucifixion. The guy who said he did not know Jesus 3 times. This is Jesus. This is Peter talking right here. Then this Peter, by the power of the Holy Spirit, on the day of the Pentecost, standing and speaking the word of God with boldness. This St. Peter preached, and 3,000 people baptized. And we will see that in this same chapter later. So this is what Peter had to say concerning this transformation. And 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 3 says that, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Folks, I want to tell you that this same Jesus, with the same power who caused Peter to be born again, is the same Jesus who is working in you this morning. Amen. It is the same power that transforming you. I don't think you get it. This is the same power who are working, transforming and changing, and is causing, this same power causing every one of us to be born again to a living hope, just like Peter. This is the same power who give birth to the church, and it's all because of his great mercy. So the first thing that I want you to remember is this. This is the week of the Passover week, the Jewish feast being celebrated from the Old Testament, meaning it is a very busy week. People come from everywhere to celebrate the Passover. While Peter and other disciples now remember the word of Jesus about the coming of the Holy Spirit, but many people in the crowd had no idea of what's going on. They have no clue. In fact, Some of them were amazed, and some other were mocking. If we look at verse 12 to 13, it says that all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." So here I want you to notice, there is two responses here. The first one is some were amazed. The other one is that some others were mocking. And today we still have the same kind of issue when we present the gospel out there. We will see people who receive the gospel with joy and amaze, and we will see people who are mocking about it. So for those people, they think Peter and other disciples and people that were empowered were drunk with new wine, because they could not understand some people were, when the disciples speaking in foreign language, and those foreigners could understand, but those people could not understand. So the only thing they can think about that these people filled with new wine. And other word, they say it's the alcohol. But I want you to remember that what Jesus told from chapter 1, they would receive power to be his witness. And this is what's going to happen right here. After the Spirit of God fall upon the church, the follower of Jesus, that the church is immediately born. And what is the very first thing that the Holy Spirit leads them, leads his church to do after the Spirit fall upon them, is to preach the good news of the gospel. Has Peter show us what God's true plan is for the church to be witness to the world, is to preach the good news, to preach the gospel of Jesus. It is that we would be a witness to what Christ has done through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection. Here Peter explained what the people had just seen in the previous chapter. He explained what happened at the Pentecost. Then he explained how this was God's plan all along. And what all of this mean. In verse 14, Peter is standing with the 11, lifted up his voice, and address the men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, "Let this be known to you, and give ears to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day." Here Peter stand up with orders to defend the work of the Holy Spirit. Peter stands with the 11 as a witness to the resurrection and proclaiming the good news. Peter is not afraid anymore. In fact, Peter is a reminder to what God can do to faithful. He is an example to those who are afraid to stand up for Jesus, to those who are scared to share the gospel with others. Peter is an example of what can happen when the Holy Spirit fall upon us, and when we rest in him, trust in him, and allow him to empower us to be a faithful witness. Peter say, "Hey guys, listen to me. It's only third hour. Like we could say 9 o'clock. How can these people drink? Don't you understand? Don't you see what's going on? It's not there. It's these people not drink. It's not the alcohol." In fact, this is what Prophet Joel spoke about a long time ago, where he quoted Joel. And we see that Josiah read for us Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 31, where Peter quoted Joel. But this is what was uttered from the prophet Joel. And in the last day, it should be declares, God declares, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. So the first thing that I want you to take note of is the first last day. Because if Prophet Joel spoke about the last day, which I believe the people of Israel were looking for that last day. And of course Jesus talked about the last day. The apostle talked about the last day. And today we're still talking about the last day, right? So, when is the last day? Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2 tells us, but in the last day he has spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed to the heirs of all things, through whom also he created the world. And 1 Peter 1 verse 20 say, he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last time for the sake of you. So we see the first connection of the last day between the Pentecost and Joel is the first coming of Jesus. And we're still in the period of the last day, which is already extended more than 2,000 years. And we will continue until the second coming of Jesus. So in fact, Peter says, the prophet Joel has been talking about this day a long time ago. The coming of the Holy Spirit is a pre-fulfillment of what was to come in the future. And the course of event that will conclude and fulfillment and details of the prophecy had just begun. So the second thing that we see in this verse is a new way God is going to work among his people. He said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. So now one thing that we need to know, in the Old Testament, or in the New Covenant, and the Old Covenant, meaning God would give his spirit to individual to a specific purpose. In the Old Testament, we see God give his spirit primarily to priests and to prophets, to kings. That tells us that the spirit of God was somewhat limited in the Old Testament. If you look in the Old Testament, you will see God's spirit descended at a specific time to the prophet, to the priest, and the king. The idea that the nation of Israel would think that God would put out his spirit on all of his people was something that they could not even imagine. Moses as well was looking for that day when God would put his spirit. If we look at number 11, verse 29, but Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them? Moses was looking for the day where God would pour out his spirit. But that did not happen. The blessing of that every single person would put their faith and their trust in Christ would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit is a thought that they could not even understand in the Old Testament. But now through Christ Jesus, we are a royal priest. We have direct access to God. We are no longer need a priest or a prophet or a king because Jesus is our priest. Jesus is our prophet. He is our king. And he made us a priest and a prophet and a king and the new covenant. We have direct access to God. So this is something unbelievable to notice the extent of how God's Spirit would pour out. Because it says that it would pour out on your sons, on your daughters, upon young men and old men, and male servants and female servants. The pouring out of the Holy Spirit and the new covenant is limitless. It has, if you come to Christ, you trust in Him. You have the access to receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that did not happen under the old covenant. And woman tells us, Romans 8:15 tells us, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as son, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. So do you realize how amazing it is when we trust in Christ? Jesus is not afraid of giving his Holy Spirit to us. He gave his Holy Spirit abundantly. Titus 3:5-6 says, he saved us not because of works done by us and righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, who he poured out on us richly through Christ our Savior. And Romans 5:5 say, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This is something people in the Old Testament could never have imagined. And yet, because of the work of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit now is pouring out upon the followers of Jesus Christ, upon the church, that the church and the people of God would be a true faithful witness. This pouring out of the Holy Spirit is the greatest work of proving and demonstrating that Jesus is the Messiah, that He is God, He rose from the dead, and He's coming back again. Now we need to understand the purpose of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Because one thing that we need to understand, why is there prophecy? Why are there visions? Why are there dreams? The work of the Holy Spirit is always to proclaim the good news about Jesus. One thing that I want you to take a note of is that God himself point out his Holy Spirit, and his Spirit will proclaim the Messiah, the gospel, through each one of you. I don't know if you get it. God will pour out his Holy Spirit, And His Holy Spirit will proclaim the gospel through you. It's not you. But it's the work of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit is what changing you. God's Spirit is what transforming you. In verse 19 to 20, it says that I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fires and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the Lord shall be saved. Here from verse 19 to 20, I would say that it's an explanation of what will happen in the final day and the new future. Because I don't think this is something that happened before, like in the early church. I don't think it happened in the early church. According to Joel, prophesied, this is something that needs to take place in the last day, which can be referred to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Because if you look at Joel chapter 2, verse 30 to 31, it says from where Peter quoted, says, I will show wonders in heaven and on earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. It shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For there in Zion, and the Mount Zion, and Jerusalem, there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those who the Lord calls. So I don't know if you remember when we were studying the book of Zechariah, where the book of Zechariah was talking about between Jerusalem, the Mount of Zion. And I don't know if you remember that, but to me, all this even seems to connect with the second coming of Jesus. If we look at Matthew, verse 24, verse 39 to 30, it says that immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the power of the heaven will be shaking. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man. And then all the tribes on the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Even though verse 19 and 20 seems to be a little bit confusing and scary, but there is good news here. Because If we look at what Peter says in verse 21, that it's a good news.
Yes.
It says that everyone who calls upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. That's a good news. First Thessalonians 5, verse 1 to 5.
Thessalonians?
Yeah. Verse 1 to 5. Chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. Now, concerning the time and the season, brothers, you have no need to have anything writing to you, for you yourself are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then suddenly destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that the day for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. See in Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2 say, beginning in verse 1, now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed either by a spirit or spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. So, in fact, we know that Jesus is coming. And this is true. And we all are looking for this day. Because there is too much suffering here on earth. There is too much pain, too much injustice, right? And Jesus promised that when he comes, all these things will come to an end. There will be no suffering, no sickness, no pain, no injustice, where peace will reign forever. I'm sure each one of us are looking for this day. So, but the question that I have for you this morning, and I want you to think about this question personally. If Jesus, so how our lives would be different if we thought that Christ was going to return tomorrow? How would that impact what today look like? How would that impact how tomorrow would look like? How would you spend your time? How would you inverse in your relationship? What would we do with our possessions? What would we do if we believe that tomorrow was the return of Jesus Christ? Who would we share the gospel with? What would we do with the time that we have left? I want you to think about this question. And may God bless you.